Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of Bible Prophecy. For today, my name is Heather and I've got some news and views from a West Texan's biblical point of view on you're not going to find in your mainstream media. Hey folks, welcome to the podcast. This evening, we are going to be talking about a couple things, two main articles that I wanted to talk to you guys about this evening. And so one of those being a massive altar for the red heifer sacrifice has been constructed in Israel. We know they have the heifers, and out of the five that they had from Texas, four of them are still good and pure. One of them turned out to have, I think, some gray hairs or some white hairs, or I think they're only limited to five. And so we kind of see this coming about, and I kind of talked about it the other day. And the other article, of course, is going to be from CBN. This is not the main article, but it kind of, you know, I kind of want to touch on a little bit. It says, the princess of hell in a tryst with Satan. Watchdogs warn these satanic shows target your children. And yes, folks, have you looked at cartoons lately? My goodness gracious, it's like just witchcraft. Just, I remember one day I was looking at that and I was like, what is that? Long gone are the days that we had He-Man and Smurfs. And, you know, now you go back and think about the Smurfs and He-Man, you're like, they weren't so innocent after all. So that's one thing I want to talk to you guys about. And then the other one is, does mankind's exponential increase in knowledge point to Jesus's soon return? And you're going to know my answer to that. It's probably the same as yours. And the book of Daniel talks about that. So we'll discuss that as well. So much is going on, you guys, and it's happening very fast. Like the Lord Jesus said, when these things begin to happen, lift your heads up high because your redemption draws near. And so we see that coming so fast. And I do believe and I do pray that we are the generation to see the rapture, to see the Lord Jesus come and snatch us out of this wicked world. I know you guys are longing for that too, because we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And if you ever get that feeling like, Toto, we're not in Kansas no more, like, this is not my home, I don't belong here, I know you guys feel that way too. Yes, folks, so let's just kind of go over a little bit of what we're going to be talking about tonight. So listen, guys, this is crazy. You know, it is, did you guys ever think that you would be seeing these days? Did you ever think that we'd see the days, you know, that you know, Daniel prophesied about, and John prophesied about, and Jude and James and Ezekiel? My goodness, folks, it's coming together. It's coming together. So one I want to start with tonight is going to be, does mankind's exponential increase in knowledge point to Jesus' soon return? And so let's dive into this article. It's by Nathan Jones. If you guys are not familiar with Nathan Jones, he was with David Reagan, Dr. David Reagan. Love him. And they started David Reagan started a Lamb and Lion ministry. And they're out of Dallas, Texas, and has retired. So David Reagan has since retired from them. And he still has a huge part, though. He's got some great, fantastic books on the end times. I have several of them. If you go to my website, BibleProphecyForToday.com, you're going to see I have a pastor, Dr. David Reagan, with Lamb and Lion Ministries. He's on there several times. If you want to, y'all can go to ChristInProphecy.org to check out more. But he's got a ton of stuff, and I really do like him. So anyway, so we're going to scroll on back to the article here. And so let's talk about this, because I've been kind of thinking about this as well, and I'm glad that Nathan Jones wrote an article about it. So he says, the prophet Daniel had been listening intently to the angel Gabriel pronouncing a series of mind-blowing messages. God was revealing the rise and fall of great empires, leading eventually to a global empire led by a despot whom the apostle John would later call the Antichrist, with its inevitable demise at the divine hand of God. So, of course, all these great empires were still so far off in the future from Daniel's perspective that he was obviously quite perplexed by what he was hearing. Rubbing his wrinkled forehead in confusion, Daniel requested God's mighty messenger to provide some elaboration. To his dismay, the angel replied with a firm no way. He explained that Daniel could never truly understand these prophecies because too many events needed to happen first before they could be fulfilled and therefore properly understood. Fortunately, Gabriel added there would be three major signs that would mark the time of the end, in which the finale in this series of events would culminate. We find the source text for these signs in Daniel 12:4, and it says, "But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the time of the end. Many will go to and fro, and knowledge will increase." And he added that only those living in the end times and who were, quote, wise, or meaning spiritually discerning, would at last understand these prophecies. They would recognize that the exponential increase in knowledge, travel, and prophetic understanding would herald the end of these human-controlled kingdoms with the second advent of the Messiah establishing his earthly millennial reign in Daniel 9:12, verses 3-10. And so, give me just a second here, folks. I've got to move my monitor here. Yeah, crooked angle. Okay, so number one, increase in knowledge. So he says, let's explore the first sign. A great increase in knowledge. Unless you're a toddler playing with your mother's Android, you have lived long enough to realize that the way we obtain information has changed a lot. A whole lot. Over the last few decades, let's not even talk decades, but in years, he says, the child attaining adulthood today can with a shudder look back to the early 2000s when there was no Wikipedia, no Gmail, no social media like Facebook and Twitter, now called X, no cloud computing, no tablets, no smartphones, and certainly no high-speed internet connectivity. Remember the sound a modem made when connecting a surfer to the World Wide Web? Ask a 10-year-old that question today, and they wouldn't even tell you. Even Bob Dylan couldn't have imagined how much things would be changing when way back in the Stone Ages of 1963, he sang, "The times, they are a-changing." Times a-changing wasn't always the way things were, though. For thousands of years of human history, life remained pretty much the same. Sure, every 300 years or so, the world eked out an innovation that revolutionized the world, moving humanity from the Bronze Age to the Iron Age. But for the most part, limitations in travel left most inventions cordoned off to a tiny corner of the world. But then AD 1454 finally arrived, and the German goldsmith Johannes Gutenberg released the very first mobile reusable type press, like an antique photocopier. At last, words of knowledge could be mass copied onto paper and distributed far and wide. The age of the printed book revolutionized the world, and Gutenberg started with the fount of all knowledge, the Bible. When he goes, were you surprised to learn from your history classes that the most world-changing advances were made just in the last 150 years or so? And as we got closer to our day and age, how each discovery came about faster and faster as one breakthrough was achieved on top of another? This increasingly rapid acceleration in learning is called the exponential curve. Our knowledge has been increasing exponential growth as one breakthrough builds upon another at an increasingly faster and faster pace. What would you say was the most important discovery that has helped us facilitate the advent of this massive explosion in the growth of knowledge? And he says, if you answered the computer, he said, then you'd be correct. He says, tell you what, I'm having a hard time here today, folks. He says, when it comes to the exponential curve of computers, the old joke is, how do you know when your computer is obsolete? The answer is, when you take it out of the box. And that's not too far from the truth. Though, for computer companies, double computer processing speeds about every 18 months, known as Moore's Law, after Intel co-founder Gordon Moore, this is just one manifestation of the greater trend in how all change happens to be occurring at an exponential rate. In 2023, quantum computers began processing at speeds equivalent to the human brain. By 2045, in a mere quarter of a century, Moore's Law predicts we will possess computers with the computational ability equivalent to the entire human race. And so he says, not only has the exponential curve in all areas of computer technology increase our knowledge to stupendous levels, but computers have aided in all the major scientific discoveries of our day. We don't need to cram so many facts into our brains anymore either. For the ability to easily store and access data means we can continue to learn like we've never learned before in human history. So the exponential curve, he says, is not just limited to computers. Other advances in biomedicine, space science, chemical engineering, human engineering, and all the other sciences have been climbing faster and steeper up their exponential curves with every passing day. Says it's expected in the next 5 years, the world's technology will be 32 times more advanced than it is today. It's also been estimated that 65% of today's kindergartners, once they finally graduate from college, will ultimately end up working in completely new jobs that at this time don't even exist yet. So today's exponential increase in knowledge points to the fact that we are living in the prophesied end times and that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Number two, increase in transportation. Notice in that same prophecy, the angel told Daniel that besides a great increase in knowledge, many will go to and fro, Daniel 12:4. This tremendous increase in travel would also occur in the same context that being the end times. God was revealing that once people began to go to and fro, both farther and faster, those final years before Christ returned to set up his millennial kingdom were finally upon us. Stop and think how people traveled just a single century ago. Most roads weren't even paved yet and were traveled along by horse-drawn wagons. Watch on YouTube the video of San Francisco recorded back in 1906, and you will see far more horses than horseless carriages. People rarely, if ever, left their homes. Animal domestication in the early beginnings of decent roads, then bicycles, balloons, boats, and simple automobiles were developing, but not widely received. Since the early part of the 20th century, mankind went on to invent airplanes and jets, and we've even left Earth's atmosphere in rockets and space shuttles. It used to take months for people to travel overseas by boat, but now we travel that same distance abroad in mere hours. In today's world, people are always on the move, just as the angel prophesied to Daniel. Today's exponential increase in travel points to the fact that Jesus Christ is returning soon. Increase in understanding prophecy. Did you know that Bible prophecy constitutes a whopping 31% of the Bible? God's overall plan for the ages appears to be rather like a 100-piece puzzle, and so far, he has only provided 75 pieces. One can make out the outline of a picture, but until certain events unfold, which then add another new piece to the puzzle, the picture remains incomplete. Still, these 75 pieces we have now are far more numerous than what Daniel ever had. As Jesus explained to his disciples, "For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Matthew 13:17. Even then, the apostles didn't understand many of Christ's teachings until after his resurrection, when he openly explained them and then later sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to provide further illumination. Even then, the apostles were expecting the imminent return of Christ and not a 2,000-year-long wait. Today, the various end times signs relate to nature, society, world politics, technology, Israel, and the spiritual signs are coming at us at such a fantastic rate that Bible prophecy teachers such as Dr. Ron Rhodes have begun to call the phenomenon the convergence. So many end times signs converging all at once has greatly enhanced our understanding of end times Bible prophecy, just as Gabriel foretold. Today's exponential increase in the understanding of God's prophetic word points to the fact that Jesus Christ is returning soon. Recognize the times, he says. These three major signs, along with the hundreds more provided in the Bible being fulfilled in our day, reveal the fact that the Lord could indeed return at any moment. By looking through the filter of the Bible at all the wondrous yet fearful events playing out before us, we should clearly understand the times in which we are living. As a result, we are comforted knowing that God's got it all under control, that he has a great big plan in place, and that his children play a vital role in that plan. Christians are called to serve God in these dark times with all our unique giftedness, resources, and experience. And he goes on to say, for those of you who haven't yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but now recognize that we are living in the end times, the realization should act like an alarm clock buzzing you awake to the fact that the world doesn't have much time left to it. We are all living on borrowed time. Therefore, embrace the fact that God loves the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, and that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Folks, that is John 3:16. And if you haven't made that decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that today, right now, you will make that decision for the Lord Jesus. Cry out to him and ask him to save you. Repent of your sins. Ask him to be the Lord of your life and pick up your cross and follow Jesus today. Wow, time is short, folks. Oh, what else we got going on? A massive altar for the red heifer sacrifice has been constructed in Israel. We've been talking about this for a while, and it looks like it's going to come to play. So this is March 21st, 2024. That is today. It is by Michael Snyder, End of the American Dream. I read a lot of articles by Michael Snyder. I do like him. He's kind of like, you know, we have Leo Homan. You know, we all love Leo. Leo Homan. And we have Michael Snyder. And so there are several folks that I really do. And I like Dean Dwyer. He's out of Queensland, Australia. I really like him as well. So those are like my three top readers, you know, that I really like to read on this podcast because they are so insightful. And I do believe, you know, that they are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so anyway, you know, he gives us wisdom. We ask God for wisdom. He's going to give you wisdom. You know, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Praise the Lord for that. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So anyway, so let's check out this article. Alrighty. So since the time of Moses, only 9 red heifers have been sacrificed. 9, folks, since the time of Moses. Whoa. Now, a, quote, massive altar, unquote, for the 10th red heifer sacrifice has been built in Israel, and there is a tremendous amount of speculation that it could happen soon. In September 2022, 5 red heifers were flown from the state of Texas to the land of Israel. Since that time, one of them has been disqualified, but the other 4 continue to be candidates for a red heifer sacrifice. As I discussed last week, he says, there was a practice run of the purification ceremony in 2023, but an official ceremony must be conducted before the heifers get too old to be used for a sacrifice. So will a red heifer be sacrificed in Israel 2024? According to CBS News, a massive altar has already been constructed. In that video that I have embedded here, he says, you can see the footage of this altar starting at the 2-minute mark. Folks, I'm going to link the article in the notes here to this podcast so you guys can go and check it out. And boy, they're super cute calves, I tell you what. This is me from Texas because, you know, we love our calves. Anyway, they're dumber than a box of rocks, but I tell you what, we do love them. Anyway, you know, I'll tell you a little story here real quick. So horses are very smart. Okay, so if you got a stock tank out there and it's like freezing cold and there's like ice, you know, in the water, well, a cow will die. A cow don't know what to do. You know, they'll just stand there and die, you know. But a horse is smart. A horse will walk up in there and breathe. He will breathe on that ice until it melts so that he can drink some water because horses are smart. and cattle aren't. But then again, we still love them because they got some great personalities. But, you know, I will eat a ribeye, just saying, as long as I don't know its name. Sorry. So anyway, he goes on to say, he goes, I was absolutely floored when I first saw this. He said, guys, you've got to see this. You have to see this altar. I can't explain it. You've got to see it. It's wow. Anyway, so he says a red heifer sacrifice would need to happen on the Mount of Olives in the land where the sacrifice would take place is owned by Rabbi Yitzhak Mamon. According to those working on the project, the ceremony of the red heifer needs to be performed on the Mount of Olives and in a place that would have looked directly into where the temple stood, the land directly east of the Temple Mount, purchased 12 years ago, meets both of those standards. So he goes on to say, Rabbi Yitzhak Mamon owns that land owns that land on the Mount of Olives. Mamo is with Jerusalem, a group that preserves Israel's history and works to educate future generations. Concerning the specifics of the land, he told CBN News, quote, it had to be exactly at the front of the place that the priest that made the ceremony can see the holy of the holy place, unquote. But the clock is ticking. If the heifers get too old, they will no longer qualify. During a recent public appearance, Mamo explained that, quote, we are very close to the third year of these cows, unquote. If there is any mathematicians here, so you can understand that we are very close to the third year of these cows, reveals Mamo, which means that with the help of God, we will get permission from God and from the people to make the ceremony, and then we can be pure, end quote. Recently, there has been a lot of buzz that we could actually see a red heifer sacrifice very soon. Last month, All Israel News reported that the Temple Institute wants to conduct a sacrifice before Passover 2024. As of now, for the heifers remains blemish-free, and according to Temple Institute rabbis, they hope to carry out the ceremony before Passover 2024. This year, the Jewish people will celebrate Passover on April 22nd. You guys, that's about a month away. And he continues and he says, during a recent broadcast, Glenn Beck also discussed the possibility that a red heifer sacrifice could happen in the very near future. The following is an excerpt from a transcript of that broadcast, and I quote, if you're going to rebuild the temple, you need to purify it. And purifying it, according to the book of Numbers, chapter 19, is a red heifer ceremony that results in the creation of ash and water mixture. And that cleanses the entire nation of Israel from ritual impurity. And then the ceremony requires some of the blood to be sprinkled at the front of the tabernacle that later became the temple. It usually took place at the Mount of Olives, where they are planning on doing this again in the coming days. It is essential for all aspects of the temple and temple worship to take place. In addition, anyone participating in temple worship would be required to be sprinkled with the ash water. Beyond that, even without the presence of a physical temple, the ceremony would allow the general population to be ritually cleansed and remove much of the religious prohibition for a Jewish presence on the Temple Mount. When are they planning on doing it? Well, they imported these red heifers before October the 7th. We now know that Hamas said that this was part of the reason, because they're going to use the red heifers to purify the temple, which is desecration to them, purifying them so they can actually go up, and even if there's no temple, they can pray as if they were in the temple. They're going to do this Passover weekend, so Easter weekend. Folks, we can interject here. I've been watching a lot of stuff on there too, talking about there's a whole bunch of stuff going on the internet, and I do believe that Hamas, when they orchestrated this on October the 7th, this had a lot to do with why they were doing it. Is why they did what they did is because of what's going on, because the sacrifice of the red heifers, and they have all this, you know, there's a whole lot of programs out there talking about it. And you guys, I'm sure y'all listen to the same folks that I listen to. If you listen to me, you probably listen to JD Farag, and I know you guys are listening to, oh my gosh, I can't think of his name right now off the top of my head. He's in Signal Hill, Calvary Chapel, Signal Hill. What's his name? I love him. Anyway, he's talking about it. And I know if you guys are listening, you know, you're listening to them too. And anyway, I'll grab his name and stuff, and I'll put that in the notes as well, so you guys can go and check him out. But that's what they're saying had a lot to do with it. But anyway, we're going to go back to the article. And he says, there has been a lot of speculation on social media that a red heifer sacrifice could potentially take place on March 29th, because the Sabbath of the red heifer begins at sundown that evening. So Shabbat Parah for Hebrew year 5784 begins at sundown on Friday, 29 March 2024, and ends at nightfall on Saturday, the 30th of March 2024. This corresponds to Parashat Tevav. So Shabbat Parah, which is red heifer, takes place on the Shabbat before Shabbat Hashkodesh Chodas in preparation for Passover Chodesh. Sorry, anyway, so Numbers 19, 1-22 describe the Parah Aduma, which is the red heifer, in the Jewish temple as part of the manner in which the Kohanim and the Jewish people purify themselves so that they would be ready or pure to sacrifice the Korban plus shas. So guys, if you've been following along with us reading through the Bible chronologically, we're doing that on this podcast as well, then you will remember we read all through this back in Numbers, remember? And it was so detailed. And so here we are seeing them getting ready to do this again. Isn't that amazing? To be the only, they've only done 9 red heifers since Moses. Can you imagine? This could be number 10, folks. This could be, folks, look around. Lift your heads up because the Lord Jesus is getting ready to call us home, you guys. Woo, Maranatha. So anyway, sorry, back to the article. And he goes on to say, this is Michael Snyder's article, by the way, End of the American Dream. So anyway, he goes on to say, I have not been able to find any confirmation that a sacrifice will happen on March 29th. So I don't know, he says, if we will see anything happen on that date or not. He says, but I do believe that the Temple Institute fully intends to conduct a red heifer sacrifice at some point in 2024. And then he goes, and when that happens, Israel's enemies are going to go haywire. SCBS News has reported Hamas has actually admitted that the red heifers were one of the reasons why they attacked Israel on October the 7th. And he says, it goes on to quote right here, and it says, it's a CBS News, when Hamas spokesman Abu Abadai began a speech marking the 100th day of the war in Gaza, one confounding yet eye-opening proclamation escaped the headlines. Listing the motives for the Palestinian militant group October 7th massacre in Israel, he accused Jews of, quote, bringing red cows, unquote, to the Holy Land. The cows he was talking about are red heifers, which now graze at a secure, undisclosed location in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. Some Jews and Christians believe they're key to rebuilding the Jewish temple that once stood in Jerusalem and to beckoning the Messiah. Once, back to the article, and he goes, once Israel's enemies realize that a red heifer has been sacrificed, they are going to go absolutely nuts. So this is a really big deal, he says. And so he says, let's keep watching and praying because it appears that events in the Middle East are about to get very, very interesting. And I totally agree, Michael. Things are happening. And so people think everything centers around the United States. That's what people in the USA think. We think it's around. No, it has nothing to do with us. Let me tell you something. For us in the United States, well, we probably wouldn't even be here. So let me tell you, after the rapture happens, there's going to be nothing left of the U.S. Nothing. Boom. And if we go into war right now, there'd still be nothing left of the United States because we don't have, I mean, listen. Have you seen our military? Have you seen the recruitment videos for our military? Come on, Janie, Johnny, if you want to be Jane, come on over. Come on. We'll do your reassigned sexual surgery. Yeah, come on. Come on. Yeah. You can wear your pink fatigues. That's, yeah. Lord help us. They have a stress card. What? A stress card? Oh, my heavens to Betsy. I tell you what. No. Folks, we are doomed in the United States. And I will tell you one thing. I'm glad I live in the South because we all have guns. Every one of us has a gun. You know, we all have guns and ammo. Thank God for that. I will tell you that much. It'd be harder, I think, to take the South. You can take the North. You can take the North and probably California with no problems. You know, no, I don't know about the North. You could probably take the East Coast, North. You know, we got Wyoming and Montana, and you're probably not going to get away with that so easily up there because they're kind of like us, you know. Here in the South, they like their guns, and they like their hunting as well. And so, but I think, you know, Oregon, Oregon and Washington and, you know, definitely California. But you know what? I beg to kind of differ a little bit on California because they have a lot of population centered in Los Angeles. They have big cities, like, you know, major populations. But let me tell you something. The majority of people living, like, you know, in are conservative Republicans. Because believe me, we have a ton moving to Texas. I can't tell you how many have moved to Amarillo in the last several years. I mean, lots of them. What's here? I don't know. They're building the, I mean, of course, they're selling their homes for like millions of dollars. And they're coming down here and they're buying like super fancy nice houses for like a drop in the bucket of what they pay in California. So they could probably live high on the hog for a while here, you know, and not have it. Because we're all like, where are they getting these jobs at to afford these houses? All of us like, where are these jobs at? Oh, like, where? I was like, well, they're probably, you know, investing in real estate and they're probably, you know, selling really high and buying really low and hopefully can. But I'm just saying, there's so many houses being built down here. I still try to figure out where all these jobs are. I tell you what, because our city council Not so much now, but as in the past, has been uber corrupt. And they've already locked us into the 15-minute city. So, yeah, folks, we have our little smart meters. I told y'all the other day they put that smart meter in my water. I didn't even know it. And, of course, we had to get the electric smart meter, which, you know, they're being blamed for the fires that caused two deaths. And thousands of heads of cattle have died. And it's terrible. But we all know the truth. We all know the truth. They're all in the same thing that happened to Maui. Same thing. Same corporations. They're all up there. Same one. Same exact folks. And so it's all planned. Let me tell you something, folks. Two different fires, two separate places, both at the same time. Both at the same time by faulty wires, you know, poles. What are the odds of that? Oh, astronomical. But hey, we'll let folks believe what they want to believe. Guys, you know what? I'm just telling you what, it's just ludicrous. The stuff that people will believe. I see it all the time. People just believe whatever. All you got to do is go on social media to see people and what they believe. They're standing over, you don't know nothing. You cow fart people, you don't know nothing. Those aren't chemtrails. I mean, my friend is a friend is a friend is a friend said that he knows a pollen. They said those things aren't, that's not chemicals. You just don't know what you're talking about. Really? You people like that ivermectin. You just eat that horse paste, why don't you? Y'all don't know what you're talking about because y'all are anti-science deniers. I'm like, okay. Come to find out that we were right and y'all were wrong, but ain't no just saying. Anyway, folks, one other thing I want to talk about tonight really quickly says that CBN is www.2.cbn.com. I always wonder how they do that. But anyway, it's the Christian Broadcasting Network, I guess. And they can have their own second internet if they want to. I don't know. It's kind of neat how they do that, though. This article is by Talia Wise. So it's the Princess of Hell and a Tryst with Satan. Watchdogs warn these satanic shows target your kids. So she posted this on the 19th of March. Children are being targeted once again with occultic entertainment. A handful of satanic-themed shows will be released in the coming months with stories that try to make witchcraft, demons, and even sex with the devil look appealing. The family-friendly entertainment organization Movie God and a watchdog group, Parents Television and Media Council, are sounding the alarm on two series that primarily cater to children. Movie God has already garnered petitions, signatures from 20,000 with the goal of stopping the release of Pauline, a satanic series on the, guess, wait for this, folks, surprise, 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 Disney Plus platform in the United States. CBN News reported the series follows an 18-year-old girl who becomes pregnant after a one-night stand with the devil. Last year, Disney Plus was given the green light to start production on the German original series. Oh, German. Sorry, folks in Germany. I know it's not y'all. I know it's not all y'all. There's a lot of lots of Christians in Germany. I know. I pray for you guys because I tell you what, I know it's dark over there. It's dark in Switzerland. Trust me, I know it's dark over there. You guys, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine. Look. I live in a very conservative part of Texas. And I thank God for that. We still have great churches. We still have churches that preach the gospel. We have churches. My pastor preaches end times. And I know not everybody is blessed to have that, even here in the U.S. I have a friend of mine in Alabama, Michelle. She can't find a church anywhere near her. You know, and so I understand. But, you know, here in the U.S., it's not like it is over there in the U.K. and in Ireland. And, you know, even in Australia, Switzerland, all those places you guys are at over there, I couldn't imagine because I know it is very, very dark over there. And I'm in France, especially. And so, and you know, believe me, I pray for you guys. Like, I saw so many of you guys on, what was it? The prophecy conference, you know, where Pastor Billy Crone and Tom Hughes and all of them went over there. And, you know, we here in the United States, I mean, we have no idea what it is like over there. And so just believe me, just listen, I am praying for you guys. I really am. And so anyway, let's jump back. I just want to explain that because let me jump back here. So it says, according to Movie Guide, the series will be released in Germany in May. However, it does not have a confirmed release date in the U.S. yet. Quote, Horrifically, these series portray Satan as a romantic partner. By normalizing and promoting such a relationship, Pauline sends a dangerous message to young viewers that associating with demons, Satan, and evil is acceptable and even sexy or desirable, unquote. Explained Ted Baer, chairman and co-founder, or chairman and founder of Movie God. He goes on to say, quote, if released, there will be millions of young viewers who may perceive this twisted and disturbing story as desirable and exciting. The show's attempt to normalize and even promote demonic association is a blatant attempt to blur the lines of morality and make evil desirable, he added, unquote. Oh, folks, let me tell you, what in the world is going on? What? How? Seriously? I can't fathom this. Oh. I mean, goes on to say, meanwhile, the Parents Television and Media Council is warning parents about a separate demonic-themed animated show on Amazon Prime Video. According to Deadline, the adult animated musical comedy Has-Been Hotel follows Charlie, the Princess of Hell, as she pursues a goal of, quote, rehabilitating demons to peacefully reduce overpopulation in hell. After yearly extermination imposed by angels, she opens a hotel in the hopes that patrons will be checking out into heaven. Quote, while most of hell mocks her goal, her devoted partner, Vaggie, in their first test subject, adult film star Angel Dust, stick by her side, reads the Deadline description. Hell is portrayed as a place of freedom where you can have fun and indulge all your sexual and perverse desires, reads a statement from PTC. Quote, meanwhile, the citizens of heaven are portrayed as cruel, misogynistic, and vulgar. Just the first episode contained more than 50 uses of foul language, 22 uncensored F-words, 12 uncensored S-words, among other disturbing sexualized themes. Because the program originated on YouTube, it has a built-in audience of teens, despite the adult content it contains. As the CBN News reported, a similar plot to Pauline was devised on FX's Little Demon, an animated show about a woman who has sex with Satan and produces the Antichrist, all in the name of making the evil relatable. Quote, I want to be clear about this. It involves a 13-year-old character, and it is animated, explained PTC VP Melissa Henson. And those two elements alone ensure that it is going to be at least interesting to a lot of kids. Despite being designed for adults, Little Demon reportedly contains animated nudity, occult violence, and an underage character. PTC found 173 instances of explicit language, 45 instances of violence, and lots of sexual content in the first three episodes alone. Mike Signorelli, senior pastor of V1 Church in New York City, told CBN Digital he believes the series is an effort to normalize anti-biblical sentiment. Quote, they are trying to desensitize us and our kids to the demonic. It's that simple. We've seen that over and over and over again, he said. But a show comes out and the attempt is to make something normal that biblically is not normal. Trying to accept something that God clearly opposes, and it's disgusting, unquote. And I agree. It's worse than disgusting. Baer is urging parents to oppose the release of content like Pauline by signing their petition. Quote, we can't let this twisted and disturbing content corrupt our children's values and beliefs, unquote, he said. Folks, I never thought I'd ever in my lifetime read an article like that. I just never thought I would ever read anything like that. Of course, I never thought I'd have a podcast either. But hey, God works in mysterious ways, they always say. My goodness, folks. Just listening to that and think of the world that we live in right now and tell me that you don't think the Lord Jesus is coming soon. How much more do you think God will stand? How much more do you think Jesus will tolerate? Look, he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to the saving grace. All right? God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to the saving grace of his son, Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, is your hairline close if you don't make that decision tonight. I'll tell you something. Look, if you wake up in the morning and we're all gone, listen to what I'm telling you tonight. Listen, get into your Bible and read it. Read the book of John. Umro, umno, read the book of John. I'm telling you, it's the best book in the whole Bible, I think. It's my favorite. They're all good, but my favorite is John. Y'all know that. Read Jude, read James, read Revelation, read Daniel, Ezekiel. Man, just get into the Word. Get into the Word. But most importantly, if you're a new Christian, read John and read the book of Acts, I would say, and Romans. Those are big ones. Philippians, and oh, it's so good. But anyway, guys, with that, I'm going to jump off of here. I'm going to jump on off of here and jump on to do the daily scripture reading. So if you'll join me a little later on after this podcast, I should have that uploaded tonight. And we're actually going to be on March the 20th. I believe today's reading is March the 20th. I'm a day behind on that, but it is the New Living Translation. It's a one-year chronological Bible. And if you guys are joining us, thank you so much for joining me on this journey and keeping me accountable. I tell you what, it's been a huge blessing to me, and I hope it's been a blessing to you guys as well. And I hope this podcast is an encouragement to you guys, and I just hope it all glorifies God. That's the whole reason, you know, and all of us are here is just to glorify God. The talents that He's given you and I, we're to turn those talents around and to use them to glorify Him and to further His kingdom. Folks, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. Don't ever forget, we are in a battle here on earth. We're in a battle. You know, the armor of God, we're supposed to put Ephesians 6:10, folks, put on the armor of God. What is the helmet of salvation? We had the breastplate of righteousness, which is Christ. We're supposed to gird our loins with the belt of truth. We pick up the sword, which is the word of God. We shod our feet with the gospel of peace, you know, and of course we pick up our shield, which is our shield of faith. And so anyway, guys, listen, we have got to get dressed for battle. It's not a time to be sitting around watching Netflix on your couch eating Cheetos. All right, we need to get up and get in the fight. There'll be plenty of time later to rest, but right now we need to do what the Lord has called us to do. I'm not saying you shouldn't relax, because trust me, we should. I mean, definitely need to take time today, because God even told us He worked 6 days on the seventh day to rest. So one day we are to rest. And so in the evenings, I've kind of got to where I've been watching. Do you guys remember? Y'all probably don't. I know some of y'all might. Star Trek Voyager. You know, I didn't watch that when it was on, I guess, TV. And so kind of popped up on my, I have a Paramount Plus, and I kind of popped up on there. I was like, oh, kind of like all the old shows. And I usually watch like Adam 112 or, you know, and what else do I watch? Petticoat Junction. That's pretty cool. Thanks, Michelle, for that tip. I never watched that, but if you guys get a chance to, you can find it. Petticoat Junction. It's a pretty good show from way back. But anyway, yeah, so I kind of started watching the Star Trek Voyager. And I was like, you would be amazed what stuff is going on right now that they only imagined back then is actually happening right now. I was like, whoa, some of this stuff is rewritten, kind of seems. But anyway, guys, with that, I'm going to get out of here. You got at least eight by twice in Texas, so that's how we do it in the South. That's right. And if you're going to your car, it's like, mm-hmm, all right, yeah, all right, yeah, uh-huh, all right. We never really say bye. It's like, okay, all right, okay. Anyway, you just got to know us to love us, I guess. Anyway, oh, thanks you guys so much for listening. And I'm telling you, may God bless each and every one of you. Get in the Word of God and let that Word of God get into you. Because days are coming, folks, and you're going to need that. Who knows? What if you're captured? Who knows what's going to happen? And you can't have your Bible. What are you going to do? You better have that scripture memorized. That says, God says, write it upon your heart. Put it in the frontlets of your eyes. You know, write it on the doorpost. You know, anyway, so get in there, memorize some of the Word of God so that you'll have it. Anyway, with that, guys, I love you guys so much, and I pray for you guys. And I thank y'all for praying for me as well. We are family. We will see each other one day. Who knows? We may see each other going up in the rapture. Well, it's going to be a blessing. Art, I know I'm going to be looking for you over there in Florida. Perhaps today, Art. Perhaps today. All right, guys. Oh, keep looking up. Keep looking up for our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming to take us home. And with that, guys, have a wonderful evening.